Okay, well, John is here, but it was uncertain as to whether he would be able to get back from Ryan Morgan's wedding in time, and so he had asked me to do this, and I'm glad to do it. As I thought about and prayed about what I was supposed to speak on, I believe that God gave me leadership. I didn't get a signed note, but what filled my mind is that I'm supposed to talk about prayer this morning. And it seems like when I've had occasion to speak, I end up talking about something very elementary, something that I guess for a lot of believers say, well, I've learned that a long time ago. But I feel like there are things that we are to be continually reminded about. I think the Bible continually reminds us of them. And so I wanted to present what I was laid on my heart, and I believe this is what God wants us to consider this morning. As a start, the passage that was really coming to my mind strongly is that a lot of you probably know it in the King James or close to the King James, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much or accomplishes much. I want to get there, but before I do, I want to talk about the foundation for prayer. I find a lot of times it's really helpful. Sometimes if you come from a Christian background, you've gotten used to doing something without really ever maybe fully understanding why, or even if you do understand why, it's never been put into words. And sometimes when you talk to people who don't have a Christian background, it's really helpful to start with very foundational points. I am really fascinated with the way that God has created our world and what He, why He did things the way He does. God's got a reason for everything that He does, and there is a reason He wants us to pray. There are ways that He doesn't want us to pray, but God certainly wants us to pray. He says to pray without ceasing. So this is a big deal to God. He talks about it a lot. He's got a certain reason that He wants to do it this way. You may be familiar with Hebrews. It's not a passage that refers directly to prayer there, I think. But it says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. For the one who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who seek Him or who diligently seek Him. So the Bible says that you can't please God without faith. And it has this just inherent understanding that you're going to be coming to God, that it's impossible to please God without faith, and it almost makes it synonymous, the idea of pleasing God and coming to God. See, God didn't make us to be on our own. He didn't make us to be apart from Him. That condition has come into the world, but that's not what people were created for. And so along with the whole idea of pleasing God is the idea that you're going to be coming to Him. And you have to come to Him in a certain way. You have to believe that He is, and that He rewards people that are trying to get to Him. That sounds very elementary, but I think a lot of our difficulty with prayer comes from some lack of faith in one or both of those things. God created us to have a relationship with Him. He would not tell us to pray if He didn't want us to talk to Him. He wouldn't have given us the Bible if He didn't want us to hear from Him. And of course, I believe He speaks to us personally. There's some argument among Christians about that, but I do believe He does it. I just believe you have to test what He says and test what you feel like God is saying in light of what the Scripture is telling us. So, what is prayer? Prayer is talking to an unseen listener. Sometimes that's a difficulty for people. It's just kind of hard. I remember when I was when God was turning my life back to Him when I was a college student. I was having difficulty believing that God was listening. So I remember praying. I remember being on my knees and feeling like there's just a ceiling above me. I mean, I don't know if anybody's hearing this. And yet there were enough things going on in my life that I had a sense that God was real and to be found, and so it kept me seeking after him. So sometimes we're dealing with a question of, is God there to hear it? I believe even believers can do that at times. I mean, I think there's all kinds of things. You know, Thomas didn't believe in the resurrection for a short period of time. So doubt is another thing that believers face. Doubt just does not overcome believers ultimately. Another thing is that you have to believe that God rewards those who seek him. And I think sometimes people have difficulty with that. Yeah, okay, God's there. I don't really think he's going to do anything for me. I mean, I think sometimes if we were to express the nature of our doubts, sometimes we would think, God's really not going to answer what I'm asking for here. He's not going to do it. And as I look at the Bible, I love the realism that it presents to us. I mean, you see the disciples failing in faith plenty of times. That came up over and over. You also see success. You see them putting their trust in God, God answering what they asked for. In my personal life, I've had both. I've had plenty of failure in praying to God the way that I should. And I've also seen God grant me grace to really draw near to him and to see him do things. And I have seen him do things immediately on the spot. And I've seen prayers answered years later, sometimes decades later. And then actually some of them in the process still of being answered. So, I like to go back to this a lot because in thinking about the world and thinking about how, if you know me very long, you're probably going to hear me talk about this. I'm just fascinated that God doesn't appear to us, that he's made a world in which we are required to live by faith. He does do certain things, we ask him to do them, but everybody has the certain, you know, we go through life, so, well, you know, God doesn't appear to me. He doesn't tell me. You know, he doesn't show himself apparently. In fact, that's how Moses was distinguished even from other prophets. It said, God talking about Moses said, you know, if there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will speak to him through a dream. But not so with my servant Moses. To him I speak apparently, even face to face. Well, that was a distinctive thing. That was not the normal experience, even for prophets, usually didn't have God speaking with them directly. So God wants us to pray to him as an unseen person. That's part of the life of faith that God is wanting you to live. He's wanting you to believe that he's there, that he's listening. And he wants to do it that way for a certain reason. Now, God may have reasons that are far beyond anything that I understand. But in looking at how God is dealing with his creatures, I think I can see something that's kind of neat. The angels were created, and from what we can tell, they were created in the presence of God. There was no question about God's existence. Apparently, he revealed himself to him to them in some form that they could see, that they could relate to. And those angels rebelled anyway, some of them. A third of them turned away from God. Because, see, there's certain things that an angel couldn't see. An angel could not see God always existing. They could not see that God was all-powerful necessarily. I mean, you can see that God's very powerful, but you haven't seen him do everything, right? So there's many things we take about God on faith, even if you see God show himself in some way. But it wasn't good enough for these angels, and they didn't trust God even in that case. And so with mankind, God has done a different thing. He's not showing himself to us all the time. But he's making it to where we have to trust him without seeing him. And so I guess the reason that that's important is when you're praying, you're fulfilling one of the purposes that God has for this world. God's wanting you to have a relationship with him unseen. This is your only opportunity to do that. God wants life to work this way. And so if we're praying, we're not just doing some ritual to try to do something really painful so maybe God will pay attention to you. I really don't like just talking, so you know, God's trying to get us to do something just out of a religious ceremony. God's wanting you to fulfill the reason that he made the world the way he did. He's wanting you to trust him even though you don't see him. And God lets there be evil in the world for lots of reasons, but he's wanting you to trust him even in the face of things that seem really bad, that are really bad. So he's wanting you to believe that he is, and that he cares, that he rewards people that look for him, even though it may not feel like that all the time, and it doesn't look like that all the time. God's wanting you to have a relationship with him this way. So, that, I feel like my volume's like going up and down all the time. That aspect of prayer helps me just think about it at a foundational level, that God, the reason that prayer comes up so much is not just as a religious activity. In fact, that's one of the things that God, that's one of the ways to pray that God hates. It says, Jesus says, when you pray, don't pray like pagans. They use meaningless repetitions, and they think if they speak a lot, that's going to cause God to listen, or whatever their idea of God is. They think that prayer is almost like a magic charm or some magic words. You rub the genie's lamp the right way, and then the wish comes out, you know. And that is a really perverse idea of prayer. That's not what prayer is about at all. It's not about, you know, stroking God the right way, and then he just, oh, you're making me happy. I think I'll give you a cookie. You know, that's not... what prayer is. Prayer is you seeking to know who God is, know what God's heart is. And so when a person is praying, they're drawing near to God, like the verse talked about, you know, those who come to God must believe that he is. When a person is praying, they're seeking to know God himself. Because like I think I'd referred to earlier, God made us to have a relationship with him, so he wants there to be a two-way conversation. He wants to talk to us. He wants us to talk to him. And that is the basis. So what that is the basis of the whole idea of prayer. The Bible obviously says lots of things about prayer. So in James, it says that, this is in James 5:16. If you want to go there, that's probably going to be one of the passages I talk about the most. There's a lot of other ones I'd like to talk about some too. But in James 5:16, it says, confess therefore your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The supplication of a righteous man avails much in its working. That's one translation. As I looked at that, that last part of that verse was really what I was wanting to get at the most. And man is actually not in the text there in the Greek, from what I understand. So there's a little bit of, you see, some translators will take it, the prayer of a righteous man does a lot or accomplishes a lot. Sometimes they say a righteous prayer accomplishes a lot. So is the idea here of a righteous man praying or the idea of a righteous prayer being offered? I don't think we have to go too deeply to see that both are required, that the person needs to be praying from a position of righteousness, from having a relationship with God themselves. And, of course, they need to be praying something right, something that God wants them to pray. And so it says in that case that that prayer accomplishes much. There are things, good things, that would happen, that won't happen, if we don't pray. And that's just straight up what the Bible says. It says you don't have because you don't ask. So there are things that God wants to do, but they don't happen because people don't ask for them. Now, I know God's sovereign, and I believe God's sovereign. I mean, I believe he's in control of all things, but I believe also in the responsibility of man and that there are certain things the Scripture lays in front of us, and it tells us you don't have because you don't ask. I mean, that seems pretty plain. He's telling us right there that a right prayer offered by a person in a right relationship with God does a lot. It accomplishes a lot. I was trying to think of an example, and I didn't get it until I was talking to my wife on the way to church this morning. I was thinking about different machines, and like, I don't like that example, a bulldozer, and I don't like that example. Corey this morning on the way to church, she said, this is funny because how God kind of answered the prayer, you know, because I didn't know what kind of machine to use. So hopefully this is it. She said she saw this machine somebody posted on the internet, but it grabs a hold of a tree, it cuts the tree, it has a swivel thing that when the tree falls, it's still got a hold of the tree, but it doesn't twist and break the machine, you know, it kind of turns with it, and then I think it strips it of bark, and it cuts it up into blocks. Now, maybe I got some of that wrong, but it's quite a machine, okay, just processes a tree kind of on the spot. Now, if you had that machine, and you were charged with the job of clearing some wood, we're going to build a house here, and we also want to use the wood, we want you to get this cleared. And this machine is sitting over here, but you take a chopping axe out there, and you give it your best shot, you know, you're not going to be praised for that, right? Because this machine was sitting over here that you could have used, and you're over here giving it your best shot. And some people are living the Christian life, giving it their best shot. And that's really not what God's asking you to do. He's not asking you to give it your best shot. He put prayer before us with the understanding that there's things that have to get done that you're not going to be able to do. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. I think that really starts affecting our prayer life when we actually believe that, when we actually think that spiritually speaking, we're not going to accomplish one thing without God. That changes the way we live. So you start a day with the idea, God, you gave me this day. You want me to do my job to glorify you, or you want me to, you know, I'm not working today to glorify you somehow. I'm going to be probably spending some time with some people. We can have fun. We can talk about things of this earth, and you give us all things to enjoy. But there is far more to life than that. There is a spiritual purpose. There's something eternal that I need to say the right words. I need to have the right attitudes. I need to, you know, if there's a good work to be done, my heart needs to be there. I'm ready to meet it. I'm you know, because Jesus said, without God operating in your life, you're gonna miss those things. You know, you're not gonna do what you're supposed to do and accomplish what you're supposed to accomplish unless you're asking God for it and you're trusting God for it. And the way you show you trust God for it is to ask Him for it. Because if you don't ask Him, I mean, how do you interpret that? I don't need Him. How else would you interpret that? If you're doing a job you think you can do, you don't ask for help, you tell me how to explain that to somebody. I can do it myself. I mean, that's what we're declaring to God when we don't pray. We're saying, I can handle this on my own. And maybe I'm preaching to the choir here, and I hope I am. As I was studying for this message, you know, I was getting convicted myself. I mean, God has granted me to pray to Him, to know that prayer to Him is wonderful, that it lets me get close to Him, that I've seen Him do all kinds of things. Prayer is often difficult. Sometimes you don't see the answer for a long time, or you just don't see some answers the way you wanted to at all. But that's kind of the way God's doing life anyway. He's having us trust Him. He encourages us by letting us see some of the fruit. And I really believe there's some fruit we're not going to see at all till heaven. We're not going to know what something's accomplished until after it's all over. But we're still having confidence in God that praying to Him makes a difference. That things are happening that would not happen because He wants us to relate to Him that way. So that machine just gave me the example that I was wanting, that we're really in an inexcusable position if prayer is not a serious part of our life, because we're not going to get things done we're supposed to, and we're not going to have any excuse because the machine's sitting right over there. okay? And so I don't want to make it impersonal. God's not a machine. I want to encourage people because I've heard, honestly, and even just an example very recently, a person who's a believer for years, when they were in a difficult situation and they were asked, you know, well, how's your prayer life? Well, I really don't have one. I mean, a Christian who doesn't pray. I'm not talking about law. I'm talking about life. A Christian who doesn't breathe? I mean, what? You know, a person who doesn't know that God is real, that they have access to God, and that they're using that access. That really doesn't make sense. So I know that prayer for us can be difficult at times, but one of the cool things we can even do is ask God to help us with that. If you're having difficulty with a prayer life, that's one of the things you need to be praying about. You need to be asking God to help you correct that. And you know, I really dislike sometimes when people try to tell other people how much to pray or how much to do anything. Like, to try to design your life for you is not my job at all. I can, with great comfort and great confidence, stand up and tell you, you need to be praying to God. You need to have a prayer life. What that looks like for you, I'm not going to pretend to know. And so I very much just want to encourage us that this is not a small issue. As you look at the different things that God tells us to pray about, one thing is he tells us basically to pray about everything. It goes all the way from your daily bread, which you kind of tend to assume, well, I go to work and I get a paycheck, so I get my daily bread. But Jesus still tells you to pray about it. You know, he doesn't tell you to look at life as if, oh, I'm fulfilling these physical functions, therefore I get this. He's saying, God's giving you your daily bread, just like he's giving you life. And he's giving you presently life. And so that is something you should be thanking God for, recognizing, still asking God for, even if you assume you're going to get it. And then all the way up to the greatest spiritual issues. Like Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray for the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest. So we're supposed to be asking God to fulfill the Great Commission and I hate to almost use gives it a title. We're asking God to save people into eternal life from eternal damnation. That's what we're doing. When we're praying that God would send laborers into the harvest, we're asking God to do something of unimaginable value. But as you look at different things in Scripture, you see a lot of the prayers that are given. Paul and others pray that the body of Christ, and that's us as a group and individually, that we would grow up into the fullness of Christ, that we would know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. I mean, those things can just sound like just words, and sometimes they are just words to us. But, I mean, that's why we're here. I mean, if we're not here to grow up into being Christ, then we're just sitting in a building. I mean, we're just doing a religious thing. So through prayer, God will cause us to be what we're really supposed to be, to grow up into Christ, to share the gospel with people. There's lots of prayers in Scripture for wisdom. James is one of the ones he deals with. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally or generously and with no reproach, and it shall be given to him. There's a place in Proverbs where it says, if you cry out for understanding, you're going to find the knowledge of God. Okay? So if we don't understand something, sometimes God gives us the specific answer we're looking for, and sometimes he gives us the ability to go, I don't have to know that. There may be sometimes questions we don't have to know the answer to. But one way or another, you're able to come to knowledge, to wisdom. You're able to come to the heart. You're able to come to the mind that God wants you to have. You're able to come to the heart that God wants you to have, because he said that basically we're going to be filled with the love of Christ. That prayer is connected to us to us being the kind of person God wants us to be. Let me collect my thoughts here. Sometimes it seems like it helps to have some practical. So how do you do this? One of the things that's often, two of the things that are often connected to prayer are thanksgiving and forgiveness. Because a lot of times you'll see when prayer is talked about and we're admonished to pray all the time and things like that, it also says giving thanks in all things. Okay? So it's connecting some ideas that at first maybe they don't seem like they're real related, but actually they're really intimately connected. If we're giving thanks to God when we're praying, we're acknowledging it's like we know that God is good, and even if things aren't going all the way we want, it's part of, in that prayer to God, trusting that He's one that rewards those who seek Him, trusting that if we can thank God for everything, we know that He is to be thanked. He's not doing something wrong. He's not doing something bad. Even if He doesn't answer as fast or the way we want, there's still some good purpose that God has that we can thank Him for. And so if we can't, the prayer that God wants us to offer has thanksgiving connected intimately with it. If we can't thank God, then our attitude about prayer is really showing, I think, a distrust of God's character. If I can't give thanks to God, I think there's something wrong with Him. You know? So I mean, part of the process of giving thanks to God when we're praying is hey, you know, God is to be thanked because He is doing things the right way, whether I feel that way or not at the moment. Another thing is forgiveness. It's mentioned many times in connection with prayer. When you're praying, forgive, that your Heavenly Father may forgive you. And it's another big issue for human beings because we've got people that have wronged us, some of us more than others. But God wants us to, our relationship with Him is based on His forgiveness of us. And He calls us, when we're in prayer, to express the same thing toward others, that we're to be forgiving toward others. And that is very necessary in our own relationship with God. I think it was Mere Christianity, I was listening to a book by C.S. Lewis. Now, C.S. Lewis, you know, he went through World War II, and what the German people did was very near and close to everyone's heart at that time. People were mad at Germany, you know. And C.S. Lewis talked about if you even brought up the idea of forgiving them, it was usually met with howls of derision. I mean, you know, just nobody wanted to hear it. Nobody wanted to hear that at the time. When we get more removed from things, then we get more generous in our in our opinions. So, but he was talking about, well, you know, we know God wants us to forgive people, and our forgiveness it needs to be a whole lot bigger than what we normally want to have. And he brought up the idea, maybe you don't need to start right there yet. And although, let me try to make this clear. Sometimes, you know, we think about the worst case scenario. Okay, I gotta forgive, you know, this butcher who murdered all these people and stuff like that. And certainly I think God wants us to have a forgiving heart that goes out and out and out, but sometimes if you start big, I think it seems kind of like to be a mistake. Let me get to the example I'm wanting to give, and then maybe it'll make more sense. In the Boy Scouts, I was taught how to make a fire. And I saw people try to build a fire in wrong ways. So one time I saw this guy, he had a stick about this big around. And he took that stick and he took a lighter, and he was holding that lighter under that stick. Now that lighter is going to run out of fluid before you start a fire that way. The way you start a fire, of course, is you take dry wood or tinder, small, things need to be small, and you put a little bit of heat, just a match or something, under that small thing, and then you keep putting bigger and bigger sticks on it. Building a fire is actually very simple. You just need a little bit of heat, and you need some dry stuff, and you just get bigger as you go. You know, if you throw a bunch of big logs on a little fire, you put it out. I mean, that's just That's just a simple principle of fire building. And I hope I'm not stretching anything, but I think sometimes in our prayer life, we might try to start really big, you know, and then we kind of give up on prayer pretty quick or something. You know, we're asking, you know, God, please make America a Christian nation. Well, you know, not saying we shouldn't pray that, but you know, don't hold your breath either. I mean, especially if you're approaching it that way. We, I think, need to have some practical, if we're wanting to forgive someone, there may be just some relationships in our life that are a lot smaller, and yet we're holding grudges. I think this can happen in one prayer time many times, but as you start praying to forgive people, and you start kind of easier, it seems like it builds. You know, it seems like you start getting God's heart toward it, and it gets easier and bigger to go on from that. I think the same thing is true of Thanksgiving. You know, you start thanking for God for things, and then it becomes easier to even, you thank God for good things, it may start becoming even easier to thank God for hard things. So that illustration came to mind, and I hope that's not a big stretch or something. But I do want to encourage this body of people, and really people outside of it, I'll just be honest, and it may be obvious. I had a hard time pulling this together. I had a hard time, and sometimes that works out all right, and then I feel like I can make some coherent points. This was so big, it was hard for me to even try to put it in words. It is something that I'm just very convinced about, I have, like I said, I've seen God do things through prayer, sometimes very quickly. I give a little testimony on that. One time I was with a family member, their car wouldn't start, the key just would not turn forward, and we tried and tried and tried, and it wouldn't go, and as we were trying, I was feeling like we're supposed to pray. I'm supposed to pray about this, and I'm not supposed to secretly pray about it. I'm supposed to openly pray in front of this person for it. And so I did, and then immediately the car started right after that. And I've had a few of those experiences. It's a small thing, but I never forget those things. It's the thing where God showed, and he showed himself to someone else. He showed himself through answering a prayer. And so, I mean, those kind of things are encouraging, but I think much more a lot of prayers are just answered secretly, and it's not, maybe sometimes it's not as obvious in things. I can tell you this, when I was a young man in my teenage years, and I was really having a real crisis of faith, and I didn't want to talk to anybody about it. I guess I didn't know how to. I was really ashamed of, I was doubting Christ. I was doubting all these things. And so I cried, literally cried, praying to God to help me, and it didn't seem like anything happened. And so eventually I just gave up and went my own way. Eventually I wasn't happy about it, and it took months or maybe over a year, but I just felt like, I guess I can't believe. Well, about 7 years later, those prayers just started getting answered like crazy, and God showed himself to me in a way, and it's like, you're going, well, why 7 years? I don't know. I've got some guesses. But I want to share those two stories. I mean, I've seen prayers answered immediately, and I've seen prayers answered over a really long period of time, and what I'm wanting to encourage you with is that believe God about this. God says it's important. God says he'll do a lot. You know, sometimes, I mean, I'm saying this to myself too, because I have to, because sometimes I don't want to pray, you know, but, you know, like, it's one of those slap in the face kind of things when, you know, in 1 John where it says, basically, if we say we haven't sinned, we're calling God a liar. So even if you feel like you're a pretty upright guy, you know, and the Bible says you're calling God a liar, okay? That's a sobering kind of slap in the face, you know, hey, watch the way you're thinking here. And with prayer, I think it's the same way. God says he's going to do great things through it. And if we don't respond to that, if prayer is not important to us, we're calling God a liar. It's just as simple as that. So, I hope that that was encouraging to people. We're going to take the Lord's Supper this morning, and so I don't know if are we. They're just going to play a CD. Is that right, Shaddy? During the service. So, if your prayer life has not been what it's supposed to be, I mean, join the club. Because, as I studied for this, I realized ways that I had failed God plenty of ways and times. So don't let that discourage you from taking communion. Christ wants us to draw near to him. I just encourage you to use this time where Christ is saying, I want you to partake of me. I want you to come to me. And he wants us to do that through this meal, through this table, and he also wants us to do it through prayer. And so I hope that blessed somebody. Thank you.